if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but Pastor Tim asked me to step in and fill in. He wasn't sure he was going to be back. He had to go out of town for a few days, so I told him, sure. And then I was like, oh, man, I got to get something ready here. I got to get something done. So I'm a pretty practical guy, and most of the time I'm trying to figure out how to do things God's way. And, you know, one of the things that we need to learn as Christians is to communicate in a biblical way. And so in a biblical way, we want to have TLC. What's TLC stand for? Anybody? No. TLC, the band TLC? No, not that. No, it's not the Learning Channel. It's not that either. TLC stands for touch, look, and comment. So touch, look, and comment, because God laid that out in his Bible, in his word to us. So think of the most significant relationships in your life, and think about, you know, whether you're married, your spouse should be your significant relationship. Just throwing that out there, make sure everybody knows that, okay? Just making sure. Relationships with your close friends, your kids, your family, they fall into three categories, right? You communicate the best in those three categories. T, put a T at top of a column. L, the look, put it in another column. A comment at the end, or C at in the third column. You think about this, and maybe you can see where we're going with it. So T obviously means touches. Now, in a biblical sense, a non-sexual way, touching people. You know, give them a good handshake. Maybe a side hug, but non-sexual touching. It says, research says that you need 8 to 10 meaningful touches a day just to survive. And I think back, you know, when we were locked down and COVID and all that, we didn't get that, right? Kind of made us feel weird. You know, you watch church on TV, you don't get that touch, that interaction. You don't get that kind of communication that God desires for you. He wants you to be part of a body that can reach out and touch each other, and in a good biblical way of doing that. See, it's got to be right. It's got to be practiced in the exact context God wants it to. We should be with our closest relationships in our marriage, our friendships, and our family. We should be reaching out and touching those people. My kids will tell you, it drives Brian nuts. You know, he's a 14-year-old teenage boy. He doesn't like it when you touch him. He's like, would you guys just stop touching me? Would you just stop touching me? Don't you? He does. It drives him nuts. But we can't help it, Brian. We love you so much. We love you. We got to show you. See, without those touches, you might even be more angry than you are right now. He's lucky. He's got two older sisters, a mom, a dad. We're kind of touchy people, really, a little bit. My wife isn't as much as some, you know, she's had to learn that. She used to be a little, I don't know, not touched, but. So we get instruction in everything. You know, I coach a lot of sports, and I've done things over the years. I coached wrestling, I've coached football, I've coached baseball, and yes, I've even coached basketball. I know that's kind of odd. Kristen was my coach with me, and she pretty much did everything. I just kind of organized stuff. But thank God, I think it was Madison. Was it Madison? Thank God my kids didn't want to play basketball. God. You guys are all like, come on, man. But you get instruction on everything. Shayna loves watching these videos on makeup, on how to put on makeup. And I find myself watching videos about how to decorate cookies. It's fascinating to me how good people are at decorating cookies. You know, I just want to be practical with this. But rarely do we go somewhere and say, I'm going to be instructed by God of the universe regarding how to communicate. We don't get that instruction. It's not front of our minds. We don't think about how God wants us to communicate with other people. I know, but after all, he wants us to communicate with other people. So in the T column, there's the genesis of us, or the genesis of the, in Genesis, God spoke it and it appeared, right? God spoke it, boom, it was there. God spoke it, boom. But when he created us, he breathed life into us. So we're part God, we're part of the earth. I mean, God's touch was on us at that point. He just didn't speak us into existence. He made us into existence. His touch made us who we are. And so we need to be like him. We need to reach out and be a little more like God, right? We have a little bit of heaven in us and a little bit of earth in us. God touched man when he made him. He got really involved in the process. He rolled up his sleeves, took things, and breathed life into it. Moreover, what did Jesus do? Jesus came to be one of us, right? He wore flesh. He was just like you and me. He had emotions. He had anxieties. He had things that he knows what we go through on a daily basis. He came down and touched us. He did those kind of things. So God obviously wants us to be in touch. If you read the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if you go through there and circle the words touch, hands, fingers, there's over 200 references in the Gospel about what Jesus did. You know, he reached out to people. We're made to touch. God's the God who touches us literally, figuratively, spiritually, and physically. When we have this skin on, this skin, by the way, is the largest organ in our body. The skin is. It's 21 square feet of skin on our bodies. I have more than most. I probably have like 22. Some of you that maybe have had plastic surgery have 19. I don't know what you've been taking off there. But on average, 21 square feet, 11 miles of blood vessels that our skin holds in. Have you ever thought about that? God literally, figuratively, spiritually, physically, and all those things, he's touching us right now. You know, you might be sitting next to someone, you're rubbing elbows, Cass, reach over and give Brian a hug. Oh yeah, he loves it. He's having a good time. With your spouse, you're holding hands. Shane and I have been married 30 years. We dated for six and a half before that, and we still hold hands once in a while. I think it's important for our kids to see that too. She still loves me. She can't get enough of me. But it's important, that touch. I need that little back rub once in a while from her, you know? I need that. And our skin is made to respond to that. Sometimes touching can take us into dark places, right? Unbiblical places. Because we live in a fallen society, and because of those dark things, we got to be careful with that too. You can't touch people inappropriately. You can't do those things that you're not supposed to be doing. We all know what it is. It can be a bad thing. But you got to approach it from a biblical standpoint each time you reach out and touch somebody. You can't go around just doing things you think you should do, right? You got to have that biblical touch. See, because back in the Bible, back in, you know, biblical times, when they touched people, it was in a biblical manner. They regarded the body as if God was there. It was holy. The body was holy. And it was holy by made by God. And so they treated it that way. They didn't do some of the things that's being done today. We need to get over that and do the right thing. See, Scripture says, I want to give you a little theology here on before we get very practical with this. We know God made us. He touched us. The skin matters. We're made in the image of God. In the Bible, it says, Psalm 145, 16, it says, you open your hand and it satisfies the desire of everything. I'm just going to run through these really quick. Matthew 8:3 says, Jesus put out his hand and touched him. Matthew 8:15, it says, so he touched her hand. Matthew 9:25, he went in and took her by the hand. Matthew 9:29, did I say that? 9:29? Then he touched their eyes. Matthew 14:31, immediately Jesus stretched out his hand. Matthew 17:7, Jesus came and touched them. Matthew 19:13, then little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray. So Jesus was all about being in touch with the people. He had meaningful touches. How many are you giving out each day? How many meaningful touches are you biblical, meaningful touches are you giving out each day? You know, it says, as a teacher, like my wife's a teacher, she's been teaching a long time, and she makes connections with kids. And sometimes it's, you know, pat on the back. Research says, you know, if you're in contact with your kids, they're going to learn at a much higher level and say something positive about them. Read that doctors, like when you go to the doctor's office, if the doctor just kind of sits there and is cold and doesn't say much and doesn't respond to you much, do you have much confidence in him? No. But a doctor maybe puts his hand on your arm and says, hey, things are going to be okay. We're going to get this fixed. That makes you feel better, doesn't it? That helps in the healing process, right? I mean, research is just discovering these things now that God's known for a long, long time. That if we put our hands on people in a good manner, it's the power of touch. Now, I'm not talking about becoming Mr. or Mrs. McFeely. We don't want to become those people that every time we turn around, they're grabbing a hold of somebody and they're touching them in an inappropriate manner. Somebody gives you, puts out their hand, shake it. Don't look at them and say, oh, we don't shake hands here. I'm a hugger. No, they don't want to hug. Shake their hand, right? Now, there's appropriate ways to do things and inappropriate ways to do things. I need two volunteers. Okay, Shayna and Brian. Yeah. Thank you for volunteering. Thank you. Thank you. Encourage them. Thank you. Come here. Come up here. Thank you. Aren't you guys glad you're here today? Come up here. Come up here. Come up here. Come up here. Okay, so this is my wife. It's my wife, right? You're my wife, right? So I can hug her like this. I can do that. If she's not my wife, I need to hug her like this, right? Now, this is my son. Hey, no, bro shake. Yeah, there you go. Now, if he comes up to you and he offers you a hand, be ready because he's going to squeeze it. That boy squeezes his hand. Now, Shayna, when she hugs her son, how should she do it? Yes, it's his mom. It's his mommy. Brian, are you sufficiently embarrassed? You want to stay up here the rest of the time? Okay, you guys can go. Thank you. Give him a hand. Give him a hand. Cassidy, how are you supposed to hug your brother? I don't. Appropriate touch, right? Have the proper context and learn how to hug people correctly. But do it in a good manner. People love that. There are some people that are a little standoffish and those kind of, and that's okay. If you don't want to hug, that's okay. Put your hand on their shoulder or something. Shake their hand. Be warm. Be welcoming. That's what Jesus was, right? We want to be like that, right? You don't want to make things awkward. You don't want to hang on too long, I guess you might say. The linger honor. So don't hug someone unless they want to hug. But if they don't want to hug, it's okay too. That's just a little side note on how to hug properly. That's really free. That's free for you guys. Take it, use it. So have you ever noticed a lot of couples, I've been around a while, and when you see couples together and you can see how they interact with each other. You can tell what their relationship's like by just observing how they touch each other or if they don't touch each other. I'm not saying you have to be like all over each other all the time. I mean, God, who wants that? But I mean, just being respectful to them, having their arm, grabbing their arm or something. You can observe a lot just by watching how people treat each other. Are you touching your spouse? Are you touching your kids? My kids, I've hugged them all the time. I put my hands on them. I don't want my daughters to marry the first thing that comes along because they show her affection that I didn't show her. I want her to have some standards that, hey, he's not my dad. You're right. You got to know those things. You got to train your kids on how to do those things. You got to hug your kids, hug your daughters. so that they know how to be treated correctly. Infants, you got to hug those little babies. I got a new granddaughter now. You got to cuddle those little babies. She's got these sweet cheeks right here. She's growing. She's doing good. But you got to snuggle with them. If you just lift a baby with no touch, bad things happen. Research shows bad things happen. They don't get that reassurance they need. They don't develop properly. They don't develop those things properly. They need those things. We should be, as believers, we want to reach out and touch people in the correct manner, 8 to 10 touches a day. Now let's go on to the L column, the look column. It's important that you look people in the eyes. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, the eyes are the soul windows of our souls. You know, when you look at somebody and you're talking to them, okay, here's an example. So some things get a little heated sometimes on the baseball field, right? And we have to have a little do-better talks out on the field sometimes. Now, if I'm talking to a kid, especially my son, but if I'm talking to a kid and he's not looking at me when I'm talking to him, trying to get him to do better in a calm manner, usually, no, not usually, I make them look at me. I said, you will look at me when I'm talking to you. And if you don't, there's going to be issues. Right, Brian? Sometimes we have to have do-better talks. But that's important because when they see my eyes, they know I'm serious about something. It's the same way when you're trying to communicate with somebody else. If you look at them straight in their face and in their eyes, they're going to know you're sincere. But if you're talking, like I'm talking to Pastor Tim, hey, Pastor, how you doing? How's things going? Have a good day? Yeah. What? You're like, who are you looking at? Look at people. They want you to do that. And, you know, the most important people in your life, your spouses, your relationships, your dating or something, when Shayna looks at me when I'm talking, that confirms to me that I'm the most important thing in that moment. She may have heard the story 1,000 times, likely, about how great I was back in the day, how svelte I was with my mullet and my 1978 Chevy Camaro. Yeah, she's heard all that greatness, but she still listens. She still honors me. She still looks at me that way. We need that as guys. We're insecure beasts. We need to be confirmed. I mean, we got to have that. And guys, here's, you know, I need to do way better at this. When my wife's talking, look at her, observe her, acknowledge her. I don't do that as well as I should. I'll be thinking about, you know, sports or something when she's talking, and I'll miss it. I'll be like, I told you that. Well, I should have been paying attention a little better. Or Shayna's famous for talking and going into another room and turning on something, and she's still talking to me. I can't hear her. I can't hear a word she's saying. Apparently, it's a trend. That is not biblical communication, people. I need to do better at that, at acknowledging her and paying attention to her when she's talking. All of us guys probably do. But that's what God wants you to do. So when you're talking to somebody, it sounds so simple, doesn't it? I like practicality. It sounds simple to just talk to somebody. You shake their hand, you look at them, ask them how they're doing, what are they up to, those kind of things. My wife has the gift of gab. She can do it. I'm more like, how you doing? Okay, good. See you later. That's kind of my style. But she, you know, I'll say, yeah, I talked to so-and-so. They went on this trip, like our neighbors went on this 14-day trip to Europe and stuff. And I talked to them for 10 minutes or whatever. She goes, well, how'd they get there? And what'd they do? And I was like, I don't know. I didn't ask these questions. It's a guy thing, though, right? It's a guy thing. Pay attention to who you're talking to. Reach out and look at them, especially the most important relationships in your life. It's simple, I know. It's simple. So in the C column is comment. What are you saying about the person to them? Are you giving them a word of encouragement? Are you being positive about them? It's easy to criticize in this day and age. It's easy to throw something out there and say, well, look at Brandon. He's shoes untied or something. It's easy to be critical. What are you saying? What the most important thing is, what are you saying when they're not there? Are you building up your kids or are you tearing them down? I know my wife and I have done a pretty good job of this. Even when our kids aren't around, we stay pretty positive about our kids. And we talk about them as if they were here in our presence. If God prompts you to say something, and maybe it's as simple as hi, but if God prompts you to give them a word of encouragement, give them that. They need it. God knows what they need. Don't just blow it off. Put your hand on them and say, hey, how are you doing? Look at them. Give them a positive comment, a positive reinforcement of some sort. Be encouraging. The Bible says to encourage instead of discourage. Encouraging word. You should say it. Man, I can live off a good compliment for a month. I don't know about you, but when somebody gives me a compliment, even though it might embarrass me or something, it makes me feel good. Doesn't it to you? I know. So I've been on this journey since, January, and we went through this program at Center for Health Improvement and to improve my health. So I've been going through this thing for 6 months, and I've lost 30 pounds, and I hopefully to continue that. My wife's been encouraged. She's done it every step of the way with me because I probably wouldn't have stuck with it otherwise. But it's been encouraging to be part of this group. It's usually me and all the elderly ladies. I've done some water aerobics, and it's just me and the ladies. But they're so supportive. They've been so good. They're just neat people. That's been the most rewarding thing, I would say. They've been encouraging to us, and this program encompasses everything. You see a doctor. You see a nutritionist once a month. You go to a health coach. They provide exercise classes for you. They monitor what you're doing and stuff. It sounds like a lot, and it can be at times, but they're all very encouraging because we all have slip-ups during those times, right? Because they said weight loss isn't just straight down. It's like this, up and down, up and down, up and down. And I never thought of it like that. I thought if you quit losing, you probably ought to just quit, right? But my wife has been so good and encouraging to me. But that's what God wants us to be. He wants us to reach out, be with people, be in not just to feather your own cap, I guess. Sometimes we give compliments that we're looking for a compliment back, right? We're trying to, but be an honest person. Be with them. Be present in the moment. Be intentional with what you're saying. And get those 8 to 10 touches down a day. You know, God, did he provide us with touch? Well, think about Jesus. Did Jesus touch us? Has he touched us? Yeah, he's touched my life. He's touched my heart. And because he's touched my heart, I have the desire to touch the hearts of others. Does he look at me? Are you kidding? God's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He sees us every step of the way. We need to mirror that communication. How about his comments? Well, he gave us a whole book of comments right here. A whole book of them. Love letters to you and me. So God knows what we're doing here. He knows what's going on. And he's done all those things. So 4 years ago, it's exactly 4 years ago, I got a new knee. I got a replacement knee. So the rest of me is 53, my knee is 4. So if you average that out, it's about 27, somewhere there. But I had 5 surgeries on this knee, and the last one was when they replaced it, and I went to a local doctor here, and he was confident in what he was doing. He put his hand on me. He told me what he was going to do. He followed up. And yeah, the knee doesn't work like my old one does, but it works. It works pretty good for the most part. You just can't do certain things you used to be able to do. Like, I'm not going to jump from here to there. It ain't going to happen. But he was a good physician. He was a great He's done other people's knees that I've talked to, and they've had good success with them as well. We have a great physician too. His name is God. He's touched my heart. He's touched lots of your hearts. We need to be his vessel to go out and touch other people's hearts. Remember, the T for touching, the L for looking, the C for commenting, TLC. Just remember that's how God wants us to communicate on a biblical basis. That's what he wants us to do. That's it, guys. That's a pretty simple message, huh? I like a short and sweet and impactful, baby. Tim, Pastor Tim, you got anything? You good? All right, let's stand to our feet, please. I hope that helps somebody. I hope it gives you a little bits of nuggets, practicality that you can use. It helped me realize I don't look at my wife enough when she talks. Sometimes she'll be talking, Cass and I will look at each other like, what is she talking about? Cass and I are the funny ones in the family. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you today. We just thank you for your word that outlines how we're supposed to communicate with each other. We thank you that we can follow through with this and do what you've asked us to do. Lord, we want to be your representative. We want to reach out and touch people and listen to them, give them good comments. Lord, we just want to honor you in all that we do. And Lord, we just praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.